Amen. Amen. All right. So, a couple of things. It is 11:58, which means it's 10:58 in Alabama. Which means, and where my daughter lives, she's still in Florida, and it's 10:58 there. So we actually
got plenty of time.
We're going to function on Pensacola time or Panama City Beach time. We're going to function on that. And so, you know, I took a preach 45-minute message. Well, you know, what, 12:45, 12:50? No problem, right? No problem.
They love it.
I'm getting looks. Like, I don't know if he's serious or if he is. We're not, okay? All right. Now, we're going to be abbreviated. Obviously, I have a message that I've been trying to preach for a couple of weeks. And I will not get through. I'm going to get through the first page and a half, maybe. We'll see when I get to preach this. We'll see how that works. But that's okay. That's okay. Listen, what I want to share, I had a couple of thoughts here. One of the things that Melissa shared with us was 97% of the money brought in, right? Was that right, Melissa? 97% of the funds that come in. No. 97% of the abortions performed in the world are performed outside of the United States. So 3% worldwide abortions, 3% are performed right here. The money that we raise, 98% of it is used right here versus the 2% then that is sent around the world to deal with this issue. That seems a little bit out of balance to me, does it not to you? It's a little bit out of balance. You know, it's the same way with the with mission work, with the gospel. I shared this a few weeks ago. I'm going to share it again, and I'm coming off the hip, so my numbers may not be exact. But of all the students that are in Bible colleges, not just going to a secular school and they're majoring in philosophy and they want to teach in, or whatever, they want to do something in Christian work. Not that at all. And Pastor Aaron and I actually heard an interesting stat this week. There's a lot of kids going to Bible colleges who have no intention of using it to serve in ministry. Like people, didn't we hear that somewhere, Aaron? He left. Is he out smoking? He's out smoking. He's out having a cigarette. Okay. We were at a meeting this week, and we actually heard that a lot of the young people today that are going to school, Christian schools, are doing it for other reasons. They're not intending to go into ministry. But for those that are going to Christian school who have the intention, Christian colleges have the intention of serving in ministry, it's something like 96% who are planning to stay in America. Now, that's great that they're planning to serve God. The problem with that statistic is 330 million of the 8 billion people on the planet live here in America. So it means that 96% of those preparing for ministry are preparing to serve one little fraction of the people on this earth. There's not this mindset of going out beyond our borders. And does anybody else feel a problem with that? Yes. There's a problem with that. And a lot of the problem is, in a lot of ways, we've become very internalized, very self-focused in America. It's about us. I've had people tell me this. Why should we send money to that country or to other countries? We got lost people right here. My answer to that is simple. Have you read your Bible? It's a simple answer to a very simple question. The question really is, why should we send money anywhere else? We got lost people right here. We do have lost people right here. And this would be in that sense, you know, here in our area is our Jerusalem. And then there's a little further out is our Judea. And then there's our Samaria. And then there's the uttermost parts of the world. We are to take the gospel everywhere. Now, here's the other thing that I love about Beautiful Feet International. Not only are they going and saving lives, these pre-born lives, but they're taking the gospel. They're very intentional as an evangelistic. They're very evangelistic in their work. Now, they're not saying, hey, if you want our help, now you got to make a profession of faith. That's not what they're doing. But they're sharing the gospel as they go. Amen? I think it's a great ministry. I think what they're doing, you see the impact they're having internationally. It's incredible. But those statistics are, and that's part of why she's here, because I think the Lord kind of burdened my heart with this. We do a lot. We do the baby bottle campaign right here for Seminole County, the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Believe absolutely in this ministry. Get your baby bottles. We start today. It goes through Father's Day. Pick them up. They're in the foyer over here. They're in the fellowship hall. Grab your bottle. Put your coin. They're designed for coins. That's the little slot. But I discovered a few years ago that not only do quarters fit in there, but folded up dollar bills, $20 bills, $100 bills, big checks fold up, big checks fold up and go in there. They fit in there real easily. So, and then they're lighter. It's amazing. A lot of good things you can do with that. We support them at about, on average, probably $11,000 a year through this campaign right here. Fantastic. That's awesome. But that's right here. And what we've heard this morning is there's a ministry that's going all around the world to do the work they're doing right here, to do it all around the world. I think we ought to be a part of that. I think we ought to get behind that. And so we're going to pray about that opportunity, which goes back to the faith promise cards. Pray about that. Pray what God would have you to do. And then, Lord willing, we may be able to then vote on as a church whether to take this ministry on for support. She's here because I'm saying, and our committee, some are here, has said we believe her work and we're endorsing her. So she's not here just as a what if. We're here. She's here because we want our church to support this ministry. But we'll vote on that as a church after we get our commitment cards back next week and see where our budget is on that, okay? So that's where we're going. All right, so give me 15 minutes, maybe. It's like Wednesday night. I'm going to preach this over about 8 weeks, Trish. This is what's going to happen. It's like Wednesday night lessons. All right, so the message that I've been trying to get to is authentic faith. John chapter 4. Turn to John chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago. John chapter 4. I read these verses last week and then we never got there. But verse 43, I want to read through this again through 53. Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Galilee out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. Now the language there indicates this man, it's a dire situation. This man thinks his son is dying. He is imploring the Lord. He is pleading with the Lord. He's begging the Lord to come and to heal his son. And it's amazing. This man's not a believer. He's not a Christian. He's not a Christ follower. He might not even acknowledge who Jesus says he is. But he's heard stories about what Jesus has done. And for whatever reason, he has this belief that Jesus can do something. And so he goes and he implored Jesus to come and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Now, he wasn't speaking to the man. He's speaking to the people. He's talking about their belief. Yeah, you people, you want to see signs. You want to see miracles, and then you won't believe it. Even if you saw it, you wouldn't believe it. But you say you want to see these signs so you can believe. I've shown you signs, and you haven't believed. But he's saying that to the people. Verse 49, the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He is pleading. He wasn't sidetracked one bit by what Jesus said. Jesus is like, he's having a conversation with the others, and he says that. And this man, he's not going to stop a bit. He's right back at it. "Lord, please, please come down before my..." And then he says, "My child." My child, almost like, I'm going to say my child. He's strumming the heartstrings of the Lord. "It's my child, Lord. Jesus, it's my child. Come before my child dies." So Jesus said to him, it's interesting, all of that, and Jesus says, "Go your way, your son lives." 6 words. That's what he says to this man. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And I went into that last week about how amazing that is. How amazing that is, that a man who didn't know Christ, didn't follow Christ, hadn't trusted Him for salvation, wasn't a disciple of His, yet he believed what Jesus told him. Right there, he believed Him. The man believed the Word. The Word's important. We talked about the Word is important. We'll talk about this in a minute. But the Word is important. And the Word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And look what happens. And he himself believed. Now he believed what Jesus told him before. Here he believed. He puts his faith in Christ. He trusts Him. He is born again. And his whole household. There's a great impact. I was going to preach something else, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want to talk about something. I'm going to build on what something Melissa said right there. And it's actually it's the first point of my message that I wasn't going to get to, but I'm going to get to with you guys. So you're hearing something different than the first service heard. Let me just say it this way. All right, so my first point was this. Authentic faith comes from a place of brokenness. Authentic faith comes from a place of brokenness. I don't think there's a person in this room who would say, "You know what? I was on cloud nine. Everything in my life was just going marvelously well. It could not have been better. It was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. I mean, I had the world by the tail. Things were just great. And you know what? I got saved. Boom. I just got saved. Just like that, I got saved." Most people, I don't know if I can say most, I'm going to say I think every person comes to faith through crisis. You were talking about they come through to faith through crisis in these pregnancy situations. They come in their brokenness. Now, you go, how can you get that? Well, I'm going to tell you why I think you have to be broken in order to be saved. Because here's where the Word of God comes into this. Jesus' Word, right? Did God know this man? This wasn't like when the Lord went through Samaria, He went to the well. He said, "I have to go through Samaria." He had an appointment with that woman at the well. He had an appointment. It was a divine appointment. But I believe this appointment with this nobleman was just as divine. This crisis didn't sneak by Jesus and get to this man. This man's brokenness, his son's sickness, it either came from the Lord or he allowed it. Either way, God's going to use it in our life, and therefore it's a good thing, right? We don't always like bad things. Man, I grow through the bad more than I grow through the good. I had some weird illustrations just popped in my head, and I think I'll avoid those. Brokenness, when we come, and so how do we know we're broken? You know, this man, there's a sickness. 3 days ago, that boy was fine. He was playing. You know, he stepped on this nail out there while they were playing. And man, a couple days later, his foot's swelling up. And then next thing you know, he's on the bed. He's got a fever. He's this nobleman, this rich man who was probably part of Herod's household there. This rich man, he has access to the best doctors. He's called them in. He's got all the money. He says, whatever it takes, money's not going to help because we don't know how to fix this kid. We don't know what it is. We don't know. Maybe he did step on a nail. Maybe he's got an infected foot. Maybe his infection's running through his body. But he's laying there and he's got a fever and the doctors are saying, this kid's dying and we can't do anything. He has come to the end of himself. He's come to the end of his means to fix the problem. I don't have the money. My money won't fix it. My power won't do it. My position won't do it. Herod's got the greatest doctors looking at him. They can't help him. My son is hopeless. It is this crisis that brings him where? To Christ. He doesn't know Christ. But I've heard these things about this Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus. Yeah, they say you're this, they say you're that, they're the other. He wasn't even that. He was at a point of desperation. But how does he get there? How did you get there? Man, I've been having this pain in my side. I haven't. I'm going into an illustration. I've been having this pain in my side. You know, it's been there for a while. So I went to the doctor the other day, and so, man, they immediately wanted me to go and get these tests done. So I go and get the test, and now I wait two weeks, and then I get the call from the doctor. And guess what, man, I got cancer. That quick. You know, I've shared with y'all, I never know as pastor, what's the next phone call? What's the next somebody's been killed in an accident? Somebody's this, somebody's that. What this is the situation. Can you help here? What, you know, you never know what the next phone call, and it's that quick, and we're in crisis. Man, but you know what's great is those crises bring us closer to God. They bring us closer to God. For this man, it brought him into a relationship with God. And you go, all right, preacher, I still ain't put together the crisis and the word and all that. You know, you may meet somebody this week that's got the world by the tail. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful, except this little problem that they don't know about yet. You know what that problem is? Sin. It's this little thing in their life called sin that has separated them from God Almighty. And they are heading straight towards hell. Maybe they've never heard that. But when we preach the gospel, when we teach the gospel, when we share the gospel, what is a part of the gospel? You know what a part of the gospel is? You know why it's good news? It's not just good news because Jesus rose from the dead. You know why it's good news? Because he died for us. The good news, the bad news is we're lost. None of all this about Jesus. Jesus is all good news. The bad news is we're lost. We're separated from him. We're hopelessly lost in our sin. But Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Word of God reveals the good news, and the good news has revealed the bad news. And the bad news is, you know what? Without Christ, you're hopelessly lost. Since Adam's fall in the garden, everyone born of a woman has, with the exception of Jesus Christ, is born in their sin, and we're born lost. We're born hopeless. And it is through the Word of God that great need, that crisis in our life is revealed. And then it's through the Word of God, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the hope of our salvation is revealed. This man came to Christ through a crisis. He heard Jesus said, go, your son lives. I believe the man, I told y'all this last week, I believe the man, he might have went and shopped. Because he's done at 1 o'clock that day. The next day, how do you know it's the next day, preacher? Because when he ran into those on his way home, he asked them when his son was healed. They said it was yesterday at the same time you were meeting with Jesus. It was at 1 o'clock yesterday. So it was the same thing. So it's a whole day. So he didn't get on his horse and ride home when he could have been home in a few hours on the horse. He didn't do that. He stayed right there. He stayed right there. I don't know if he had business to take care of, but you know what he didn't do? He didn't worry and fret. Man, would you go ask Jesus if he meant what he said? Would you ask him? I know what he said. I heard him. But would you ask him, was he serious? Was he kidding with me? Was he for real? I just don't know. I don't know. I'm so worried about this. I'm just fretting. I know what he's told me, but I don't. You know, I told you all that last week, the yeah buts. We got a lot of promises in the Word of God, and we go, yeah, but. Yeah, I know I'm not supposed to worry, but. Yeah, I know he's with me always, but. We always got a but in the way. Right? Get out of the way. Get it out of the way. Trust him. This man trusted him. And then when he heard, man, God, he did. He healed him exactly when he said he would. He healed him right then. And he believed. He put his faith in Christ. It was through that crisis. Folks, we can reveal to people, they're all in a crisis. Everybody out there is in a crisis. If they're not born again, they're walking in a crisis right now. Amen? And as we reveal the Word of God, that can reveal to them their crisis and bring them then to, it also reveals the hope they have through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Look, we have an opportunity. There may be somebody here this morning who doesn't know Christ. You've never come to that place of placing your faith in Christ, repenting of your sin. Pastor Aaron, if you want to come. Of repenting of your sin, of turning from that. And this whole understanding that I am lost. But look, you've got to understand you're lost. You've got to be broken before you can be repaired. You've got to understand that brokenness. And so through crisis, God works through those crises. You may have someone in your workplace, man, they're going through a crisis. Great opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. There's two great times to share your faith. All the time is a great time, right? There's two really, really, really great times. With a death in the family, with the birth of a child. It's huge. It's amazing. People are so much more open to the gospel. But you never know when revealing the gospel to the sharing with people is not going to reveal to them their brokenness. And they become truly convicted of that and come to faith in Christ. This morning, if you don't know Christ, I would invite you to step out and come forward. Let me share with you from the gospel. I'll share from the Bible, the gospel with you this morning. Scriptures, John says, all these things I've written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know this morning. You don't have to wonder. Our faith's not a hope so faith. You know, there are Catholics all over the world still praying for the last pope. You know why they're praying? They're praying to hope to, they're hoping to get him out of purgatory. That's what they're praying. Now, if you believe the Catholic way, it's great to be the pope because everybody in the world is going to pray for you. But folks, can I tell you that don't work? There is no purgatory. We're not simmering somewhere waiting to either get out or go down. It's none of that. Our eternal destination all depends on what we do with Jesus Christ in this life. The moment that heart beats and I'm done here, it's too late. It's right here. It's what do we do with Jesus now? What do we do with Him now? If you've never come to that place of saving faith where you've called on the name of the Lord, repented of your sin, confessed your sin, and asked Christ to come in your life and be your Savior, I would plead with you. Step forward today. Let us take the Word of God and share that with you. Christian, maybe there's somebody in your life this morning, you know, I need to pray for that person. I need to witness to that person. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning and pray for them. Lift their name up. Whatever God's doing in your life right now, I pray you'll be obedient to respond. Lord, would you just move in this time of invitation? Lord, we've heard a lot of what you're doing around the world. We've sung praises to your name this morning. We've heard a short exhortation from the scriptures this morning, from this story, and from the truth, Lord, that we're all in crisis, whether we realize it or not may be the issue, but we're all in crisis. Lord, you use that brokenness in our life. I know my brokenness as a child. I'm fully convinced, Lord, that the things that you allowed to happen in my life were absolutely for the purpose of preparing my heart to receive the gospel. And I thank you. I thank you for those hurts, and I thank you for those crises that you brought in my life that brought me to you. Lord, help us to go out of here and to help people to realize their brokenness, but that there is a Savior who will make it all right, who's done everything that needs to be done. Lord God, bless and move in this time of invitation now. Have your way in Jesus' name.